The climate is changing. So are we. I'm Laura Lynch, and I host What on Earth? That's CBC's Climate Solutions podcast. Twice a week, we take you around the world to find the people who are trying to build a better future for all of us. We explore indigenous science, new technologies. We talk openly about mental health and climate anxiety. We also take your smart questions all the time. Come find What on Earth wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Brent Bambury. This is Day 6.
The bells at Bethlehem's ancient Church of the Nativity still ring, but the courtyard here is empty.
Christian leaders have coordinated to scale back celebrations this year.
We just hope and pray for Jesus to come again and to give us the peace for all this area.
Christians in Bethlehem search for joy amid turmoil and war. That's coming up on Day 6. Today, the games he played.
This one was definitely made with love.
John Orr on the video games that paid off in 2023. The year in music.
I just find this song endlessly listenable.
Our music panel on the tight tunes and bright lights of the year. And a Christmas card from Hans Gruber.
Muppets Christmas Carol, but you know, with guns and stuff.
Die Hard rides again as a Christmas musical. All today on Day 6, the 40 stories of sheer Christmas edition.
We've seen so many images of children being pulled out of the rubble. And to us, this is a message that Jesus identifies with our suffering. He's in solidarity with those who are oppressed. He's in solidarity with those suffering. So it's a message of comfort and hope to us.
That's Reverend Munter Isak. He's the pastor at the Christmas Evangelical Lutheran Church in Bethlehem. And he's describing his church's nativity scene, which shows baby Jesus surrounded by rubble and wrapped in a traditional Palestinian keffiyeh.
It was inspired by the images we see on our TV screens of children being constantly pulled from under the rubble.
Bethlehem is the biblical birthplace of Jesus. It is also a city in the occupied West Bank. So while the city would usually be full of festive celebrations at this time of the year, it's a lot more subdued with the war raging in Gaza and violence in the West Bank on the rise too. Reverend Mitri Raheb was born and raised in Bethlehem. He is a Christian Palestinian theologian and a former pastor at the Christmas Evangelical Lutheran Church. He joins us from Bethlehem. Mitri Raheb, good morning. Welcome to our program.
Good morning. Good to be with you, Brent.
What is the mood in your community as Christmas Eve approaches? What are people telling you?
You know, it's a very sad Christmas. People are watching the news, they have friends and family members in Gaza. And when they look and see that genocide taking place there, they are not up for celebrations. And also they are angry that the world cannot even agree on a ceasefire.
And how does that compare with Christmas's past? You were born and raised in Bethlehem. What are your memories of Christmas in Bethlehem in better times?
Christmas in Bethlehem was very special time because, as you know, this is the place where it's all started. This is the place where Jesus was born. And so you had decorated streets with lights, with stars, with angels. You had people from all around the world here on Christmas. Hotels are full, restaurants are full. You have a parade with over 40 scout groups, thousands of scouts with festive music through the streets, international choirs coming to perform at Manger Square, lots of joy. None of this, unfortunately, will be this year. The churches, as well as the city council, decided to cancel all the festivities. However, for us, the Christmas story itself is of great importance and essence.
And you've said that despite these cancellations and despite the fact that the Christmas celebrations of the past will not happen this year, you've said that the Christmas story itself is maybe even more relevant today than ever. What do you mean by that?
Correct, because, the Christmas story has nothing to do with the reindeer and with the white Christmas and with the jingle bells. It talks about a Palestinian Jewish family in north of Palestine, in Nazareth, who is ordered by an imperial decree to leave Nazareth and to go to Bethlehem to register. And this is what actually the Gazan people were ordered by the Israeli military to evacuate the north to go to the south. We hear about Mary, the pregnant woman in her 9 months, on the run from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And you know, there are 50,000 Palestinian pregnant women in Gaza today who are really on the run, on the road, and they don't have a place where to deliver their kids because most of the hospitals are out of service. Their homes are destroyed. They are delivering in tents on the streets. This is what happens to the Holy Family 2,000 years ago. But then also you hear about King Herod. Because he wants to stay in power, he ordered for the kids in Bethlehem to be murdered. And unfortunately, 8,000 kids in Gaza. And we hear also in the story what the angel actually sing about glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, which really is a critique of the empire. Glory belongs to the Almighty, not to the mighty. And the peace that Jesus proclaimed is different than the Pax Romana, the peace of the Romans that was built on subjugating nations and oppressing them militarily. But the peace that Christ came to proclaim is a peace that is based on human dignity, equality, and justice. And this is what we call for today.
Earlier, I described the nativity scene at the Christmas Evangelical Lutheran Church, and the baby Jesus is laid down in rubble, not the familiar manger. What did you think and feel when you first saw this revised nativity?
You know, this is in the church where I was baptized as a kid, where I served as a pastor for 30 years, and I thought that was the exact right thing to do with what's happening in Gaza, because if we want to look for Jesus today, he is in Gaza.
You mentioned that the festivities are canceled this weekend, but there is a nativity scene on Manger Square in Bethlehem. What will happen in Manger Square this Christmas weekend?
Actually, as we speak now, they are putting up one of the largest nativity scenes that was ever put on Manger Square, with again the Holy Family, not only the baby Jesus, but the Holy Family actually, and the whole scene is in rubbles. And there will be five children that we picked that will send messages of hope and of love and support to the kids in Gaza, from Bethlehem directly to Gaza.
In spite of the cancellations, will there be pilgrims? Will people come to Bethlehem anyway, just to be near the place where Christ was born on Christmas?
No pilgrims at all. I mean, because Bethlehem itself is besieged, actually. It's very difficult to get in and out of Bethlehem because Israel already, since 75 days, sealed off all roads. There is restrictions of movement. However, there is One solidarity delegation from South Africa that arrived yesterday. They are the only group, international group, that I know of. And so this solidarity pilgrimage is important for us because it's really the first of its kind during this war.
I asked you earlier about how Christmas has changed in Bethlehem this year, but how has Bethlehem itself changed over the years from the place where you were born and grew up?
You know, when I grew up, Bethlehem was really the little town of Bethlehem that people think about. Nowadays, it's a large town with over 30,000 people, but it is unfortunately a city surrounded from three sides by a 25-foot-high wall. It's like an enclave because Israeli Jewish settlers and the Israeli military has already confiscated 86% of our own land, and so only 14% of our own land is under our control. So the Israeli state is actually a settler colonial project. I hope it will not take us 400 years for the Israeli to realize what they are doing.
Mitri, you are part of a shrinking Christian minority, not only in the West Bank, but in your own birthplace as well, in Bethlehem. How do you explain to people why you are still there?
I'm still here because the existence of Christians in this part of the world is important to keep Palestine as a pluralistic society. Mm-hmm. We are here because our roots are here. This is where, you know, our families history is, and we want to make sure that that history will continue in spite of all odds that we are facing.
Reverend Mitri Raheb, all the best for this holiday season. Thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Mitri Raheb is a Palestinian Christian theologian in Bethlehem. Here are some other stories we're keeping an eye on this weekend.
When you cross the line into engaging in insurrection after taking an oath to protect that constitution, you're no longer eligible to hold office. You're no longer eligible to run for office.
This week, Colorado's Supreme Court ruled that Donald Trump cannot run for president in the state. It cited a section of the 14th Amendment arguing that his role in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol amounted to participation in an insurrection. Similar legal challenges are underway in more than a dozen other states, though it seems likely the question of Trump's eligibility to run for president again will land with the U.S. Supreme Court sometime in the new year. And after 3 years of negotiations, the European Union has a new agreement on migrants. The deal is trying to limit the number of migrants coming into the EU, make it easier to deport failed claimants, and share the cost of caring for migrants more equitably between countries. It is widely seen as a response to the far right, which has made gains campaigning against migration. Rights groups say the new deal puts migrants at greater risk. The deal is expected to take effect in the new year. Still to come on day six, John Orr on the year's video games that came out underhyped, but still pack a punch. As you gather in peace with friends and family this holiday season, there's still that one question that is destined to incite violence. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
I think it's a Christmas movie, for sure. It's set at Christmas, that's it.
That's Byron Martin. He's the artistic director at Grindhouse Theatre Society in Edmonton.
It's got Christmas songs, you know, Christmas jokes.
But even if Byron hasn't convinced you that Die Hard embodies the holiday spirit...
Next time you have a chance to kill someone, don't hesitate.
You have to admit that he and his writing partner Simon Abbott are making a strong case, because they've taken Die Hard, the action-packed thriller, and transformed it into a goofy theater production called Die Harsh, a Christmas musical.
My name is Simon Abbott. I am the musical director and co-writer of Die Harsh, a Christmas musical.
My name is Byron Martin. I'm the artistic director of Grindstone Theater and the co-writer and director of Die Harsh.
If you haven't seen Die Hard, there's a bunch of Germans, and the main German guy, Hans Gruber, is trying to steal a bunch of money. But there's this New York cop who's there in this office building where the heist is taking place, and he's kind of loose in the building, and he starts messing up all their plans.
These are very bad for you.
Who are you, then?
Just a fly in the ointment, Hans. The monkey in the wrench.
Our show is very different. We basically made Hans the main character and tell the story from his perspective. And then we inject a whole bunch of Christmas into it.
We kind of introduce this sort of stupid Christmas idea that even the most Grinch-like bad guy, through Christmas magic, can have a change of heart at the end.
You will be haunted by spirit, he sings. Expect the first when the elevator dings.
It's basically a die-hard Christmas carol, the kind of classic Scrooge story with Hans Schmuber as Scrooge.
Christmas is about to be canceled.
No, not Christmas! Hello?
Why did we decide to put those two stories together? It really doesn't make any sense. Nobody asked for this. That's what Byron always says. Nobody asked for this. And it just, I mean, it was a nightmare to write.
It's a well-shot film, and it doesn't translate directly to theater, since it's cutting so quickly between characters in different locations.
One of the actors plays 18 characters, and some of them come back and forth, so the number of quick changes they have to do is just, it's comical. We've described it as Muppets Christmas Carol, but, you know, with guns and stuff.
We're taking the piss out of everything, so if you hate musicals, you are going to love this show, and if you love musicals, you're going to love this show. We're doing songs that feel like Les Mis, and then we're doing like German folk numbers.
I wish I was home with my family, away from this toiling and strife.
Brings the kids some gingerbread.
We just said to ourselves, if this character had to sing a song in a show, if Hans Gruber had to sing a song, what would that song be like?
Ich bin ein sexy German Terrorist.
In his case, it would be sort of a sexy rock kind of number. Or if John and Holly had to sing a love ballad, what would it be?
I changed my last name, 'cause every night's the same.
Well, of course, it would be like an 80s power ballad kind of thing.
I had to stay in New York, 'cause I'm a New Yorker.
Maybe one of the silliest songs is John McWayne, as we call him in our version, for copyright issues, I guess, or just stupid issues. I don't know why we decided to do that. John McWayne sings a song called John Song, which is just this outrageous ballad to sort of the idea of his wife.
Every fin I touch ignites.
He sings about how in his life everything he touches dies or explodes. He's an action hero, I guess, is what he's singing about, but how even his love with his wife, he has somehow managed to explode. The band is playing on stage on top of scaffolding facing out. So the whole show, I just get to watch 200 people's reactions to every little thing. There's guys coming out wearing like costumes from the show, guys coming out in like John McClane's wife beater covered in blood or wearing the ho 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 machine gun sweater. It's kind of wild. So one side of the room is laughing at every musical theater joke, and the other side of the room is laughing at every Die Hard joke. And at no point is everybody laughing at the same thing somehow.
It's always nerve-wracking when you put up a project that's in development and you test it in front of a live audience. And I never really considered myself a writer at all. So getting to take a piece of writing and then get it up on stage and to see it all come together, it definitely is fantastic.
I spoke with a woman yesterday who said she'll come every year that we put this crazy thing on. So I think we just keep putting the show on every year, and maybe we grow it. We make it a little bigger, a little more refined every year. Who knows? A couple years from now, it might be a completely different show.
A man in a tower, 40 stories of your terror.
Byron Martin is the writer and director of Die Harsh, a Christmas musical. Simon Abbott is the writer and musical director. The show is a production of Grindhouse Theatre Society in Edmonton. You might recognize that song. It's the main theme from Super Mario Brothers Wonder, one of the many video games we talked about on the show this year. Video game theme music isn't exactly standard holiday listening, but you have to admit, that's pretty relaxing. Cozy, even. You can get into it. In a year that left a lot of us craving an escape, video games offered a welcome reprieve. And there was something for everyone in this year's offerings. You had the whimsical and family-friendly world of Mario, and the mystical Forgotten Realms of Baldur's Gate 3. and the action-packed meta world of Marvel's Spider-Man 2. If you paid any attention at all to the gaming industry this year, you probably felt the buzz around each one of those titles. But there was also a ton of great video game releases that you might not have heard about. And our resident Day 6 gaming expert, Jonathan Orr, is here now to take you through a few of his favorite under-the-radar picks from 2023. John, good morning. Welcome to Day 6.
Hi, Brent. Thanks for having me, as always.
John, how many hours do you think you logged playing video games this year?
Oh, no. Don't ask me that. dozens, maybe hundreds.
I'm sure it's in the triple digits anyway.
Low triple digits this time, let's be honest.
Okay, well, there's still time to up that number before the end of the year. But we just spent a fair amount of time listening to the theme from Super Mario Brothers Wonder. And I'd like to start with something family friendly. Can you tell us about another release from 2023 that might appeal to fans of the Mario universe?
Right. So also for the Nintendo Switch, Disney's Illusion Island, it will be very familiar for people who played the recent Mario games. It's up to four players. You can play as Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Donald Duck, and Goofy. And yeah, it's a 2D adventure game, a lovely art, lovely Disney-directed music, although it uses like the modern versions of the character, which like are a little bit edgier than maybe the classic versions.
Oh, no. So is it full of bone-crushing violence?
No. It's actually the opposite. It's actually very clever how they use the mechanics of the game. You can run and jump around the area. You know, you're finding items to unlock new paths in the world. But there are some of the boss battles, and they're not really violent, I guess you could say. You're kind of moving around, manipulating the environment to, like, you know, press buttons to drop a giant fruit on somebody's head, just kind of knock them out. So, yeah, it's very family-friendly, very familiar if you're a fan of the Mario games or maybe some of the older Castlevania adventure games. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I was very surprised because some licensed property games don't always turn out very well, but this one was definitely made with love.
Okay, Disney's Illusion Island for intergenerational play. There's at least one game on your list where the plot is centered on an intergenerational family. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, one that really stuck with me was called Venba. It's made by a Toronto independent developer. It tells a story of a woman named Venba who moves from India to Canada with her husband in the 1980s. It kind of follows them throughout the decades as they raise their son, Kevin, and try to figure out how to, you know, manage how Kevin and their son rapidly assimilates to Canadian culture. And we do that kind of by learning how to cook Indian Tamil dishes. There are puzzles. You know, how to manipulate the steaming areas and how to mix, you know, rice with coconut to make puttu, which is very fun. It tells a really great personal, you know, even heartwarming story. It uses food as a love language, which is really quite something. It's only about like 90 minutes long. So it's also kind of the indie film version or the indie film game in this list today.
So how do the cooking challenges work? I mean, do they give you recipes? I've looked at the graphics of it. It is a beautiful looking game.
Yeah, there's a lot of like watercolor or pastel style art to it. But basically you are playing as Venba and she is trying to recreate or rebuild recipes from her mother's cookbook. And, you know, some of the pages are a little bit scratched or torn. So she's trying to fill in the gaps with the equipment that she has. And you can see throughout the years, as the years go by, like, you know, in the 1980s, there wasn't a lot of Indian cooking ingredients or equipment in Canada.
Right.
But as you go on to, like, say, you know, the 90s, early 2000s, there are a lot more like packaged spices or soup bases that you're able to use because they're more available in stores these days. So it kind of tells its story through the mechanics in ways that are not too tough or demanding for the player.
A beautiful looking game, and it has a really lovely soundtrack as well. And that's Venba. And it's not the only game you have that has to do with food.
Yeah, this one also includes cooking. It's called Thirsty Suitors, although it has some other things in common with Venba, but it does a little bit more or has a bit of a wider breadth to it. This is by an American team, but it's kind of like a South Asian queer or more queer version of Scott Pilgrim. That's really just like the setup, but there's more to it than that, really. You play as this young woman named Jala. She comes back to her family home somewhere in the States, like in the Midwest, because her, you know, much more quote-unquote successful sister is getting married. There she has to deal with her family expectations and also engage in like verbal duels with her exes of all sorts. So
okay, so that's the Scott Pilgrim tie-in. There's evil exes in this.
Yeah, I mean like not evil, maybe just messy is a good way of putting it, because Jala herself is messy. She's dealing with her own like insecurities or her own flaws from her past. The characters, it's just full of color, full of humor. There are cooking challenges, but they're kind of more like speed and skill based than Venba, and the food you create, the dishes you create help you in battle, right? But it's just so wonderfully self-aware and, you know, conscious of the immigrant experience. The first guy that Jala meets and you have to have like a verbal battle with, he had a crush on Jala in grade school, and his pickup lines are like, come meet my mom, she can teach you how to cook my favorite dishes for me. So yeah, a lot of attitude and fun there.
Thirsty Suitors is also a really wonderful name. So that's 3 out of 5. What's your fourth pick for 2023?
This one is interesting. It's called Dredge. This was a real big surprise for me. It's a little technical, but it is a cosmic horror fishing simulator. So you play a fisherman in a small wharf or archipelago. You are fishing for the local town. There are some small mini games on how to properly catch fish. You have to fit them all into your cargo hold, which is kind of like a Tetris set, so you know, figure out how the pieces fit together. But then you realize like, oh, make sure you don't go out fishing at night because weird things happen at night. And you suddenly find out that, you know, when you're out at night, you can't see anything without your lights. Strange apparitions may appear. You may look down into the water and see some shape moving around you, and then you have to figure out what happens. There's kind of like a Lovecraftian panic meter that shows up once you are fishing at night. I do not want to spoil what exactly happens, but it's really interesting, and it's a really great mix of environmental atmospheric storytelling with, you know, the technical simulator aspect, which, you know, both of which I really love. It, maybe if you're looking for one, you might not be a fan of the other, but it does something that I've never seen before. And like, I never knew I needed a horror themed fishing game.
But it definitely has that horror vibe. That's Dredge. And I think that the last game on your list, according to what I've been told, might be your favorite, John. Do I have that right?
It's up there. It's maybe my most surprising favorite game. So this is Metroid Prime Remastered. It's for the Nintendo Switch. It is a re-release and like a very slight remastering and cleanup of Metroid Prime, which originally came out in 2002 for the Nintendo GameCube. Wow. It is this great like sci-fi action exploration game where you play as Samus Aran. She's a bounty hunter with a crazy suit of armor and a gun for her on her arm. So, you know, you're exploring all these like vast wildernesses and alien landscapes trying to get out of the place, right? Eventually it culminates in a battle with gigantic aliens and a robotic dragon. But like the best thing about this game, and maybe the most interesting thing, is that this game basically perfected the first-person adventure game. So most games that take place in the first-person perspective where, like, you know, the camera, you are looking through the player's eyes, like Doom or Call of Duty, they're combat games. There's not a lot of, like, puzzle platforming, jumping across chasms and figuring out, like, you know, gigantic mazes of a world. Metroid Prime did it in 2002, and basically no one has ever done it better since. And there are a lot of technical remakes that rebuild classic games from the ground up in, you know, new visuals, new mechanics. The Resident Evil 4 remake is a good one that came out this year. But Metroid Prime basically didn't need any of it. They just re-released it a little bit cleaned up, and it's just perfect. It's incredible how well that game holds up. Nothing feels aged or outdated. It is really impressive.
Metroid Prime Remastered from way back in 2002 and updated for 2023. John, knowing you, you're already looking ahead to the games that are coming out next year. What new release are you most excited to get your hands on?
Right. We only know so much about these games coming out. There are a couple that really stand out to me. The new Prince of Persia game called Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown from Ubisoft. It's this amazing 2D action platformer game. There might be a bit of a trend here with some other games I've talked about. It's just super fun. The other thing is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is the next installment of a remake of Final Fantasy VII from 1997. They are doing really cool things with their story and characters. It's kind of like like the Star Trek remake by J.J. Abrams, where they are kind of twisting around what we know of the original story.
Right.
And we don't really know where that's going to go. And that's, you know, people have are having a lot of fun speculating on what they're going to change and what they're not going to change.
It's going to be a great year for gaming. We'll have you back to talk all about it. Jonathan, thank you very much for being with us. Happy holidays.
Thanks. You too, Brent.
Jonathan Orr is a senior writer with CBC Radio Digital and Day 6's gaming expert. Still, lots to come on Day 6, including it's the final Rift of 2023. Stay tuned to win the last bag of the year.
I'm Dr. Brian Goldman, host of the CBC podcast, The Dose. Each week, we answer health topics in a smart and sometimes counterintuitive way you won't hear anywhere else. Like, what's the least amount of exercise I can do to get the benefits? Which psychedelics can improve my mental health? And how can I check for cancer if I don't have a family doctor? Top experts help me bring you what you need to know in plain language in about 20 minutes. Find The Dose on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Brent Bambury. You're listening to Day 6 from CBC Radio. We're on public radio stations across the United States. Listen on demand with the CBC Listen app, and we're available wherever you get your podcasts. Also at cbc.ca/day6. 2023 is winding down. It's time to take stock of what we want to carry forward into the new year and what we want to put firmly in the rearview window. Let's be honest, there's a lot to leave behind. But I can think of at least one thing I'll definitely be hanging on to from 2023, and that's the music.
I said what I said. I'd rather be famous instead. I let all that get to my head. I don't care. I paint the town red.
Jimmy, Jimmy, Cocoa, Jimmy, Jimmy, ride. Jimmy, Jimmy, Cocoa, Jimmy, give me high. Love me if you love enough. You can be my life. Jimmy, only love me when you want to get high.
Last night. We let the liquor talk. I can't remember everything we said, but we said it all. You told me that you wish I was somebody you never met. But baby, baby, something's telling me this ain't over yet.
Baby, baby, the tears they fall from your eyes when the sun goes down. You see for yourself when it gets like this. Oh, it's so hard to tell.
I can buy myself flowers.
The hits just did not stop coming this year, and really, it wouldn't be Christmas without an end-of-the-year edition of the Day 6 Music Panel. So we brought the gang back together to tell us about the music that landed at the top of their list in 2023. Here with me in studio is Odario Williams, host of CBC's After Dark, and a rapper with Grand Analog in Boston, Maura Johnston, music critic and an adjunct professor in the journalism department at Boston College, and from Los Angeles, the one and only Nate Sloan, musicologist and the co-host of the podcast Switched on Pop. Nate, Maura, Odario, good morning. Welcome back.
Hey,
so, so great to be back.
So wonderful to have you. And of course, this means that Christmas is right around the corner. And the Christmas Queen, Mariah Carey, is back at number one. And I just want to find out from each of you, does this portend good things for the season or not? Nate?
At this point, I would be disturbed if Mariah Carey wasn't at the top of the charts. That would be an aberration.
Odario?
I agree with Nate 100%.
Maura?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you shared the love with Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, but it is all well and right that Mariah is back in the driver's seat.
Yeah, I love Mariah. She does take up a lot of oxygen, so we're here to give up some of that oxygen to some of the other stars of 2023. And Nate, let's start with the best album of the year. What was at the top of your pile in 2023?
The album that I listened to the most, I thought about the most, that challenged me and entertained me the most was SOS by SZA.
Uh-huh.
That is a deadly, beautiful melody, Kill Bill by SZA, and a dangerously infectious track.
Yes.
Nate, What does this mean to you?
Well, this song, Kill Bill, I think captures a lot of the dichotomies, the tensions that run through this album. On one hand, like you were saying, Brent, this song is kind of this violent fantasy about doing harm to your ex.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, there's a vulnerability there. There's a sensitivity. She talks about going to therapy in the song. There's all these extremes over the course of this record. And as you listen to it, you are exposed to all the facets of SZA's personality. She leaves it all on the floor, so to speak. And at the same time, these are incredible melodies. They get stuck in your head. Mm-hmm. The production is fantastic. Her voice sounds amazing. She's showing us different sides of what she can do. And that's another thing that makes this album such a great listen.
She will tear your heart out, and I mean that literally. Dario, I'm coming for you next. What's your favorite album this year?
Well, mine just came to me as a surprise. I realized I listened to this one the most all year. It's by Kali Uchis. It's called Red Moon in Venus.
Wish You Roses, Kali Uchis, and that's from Red Moon and Venus. And Adario, why did that record keep calling to you this year?
Well, Kali Uchis, she's been an up-and-coming pop star, and I like that she took a little bit of a left turn and decided to go for Kate Bush meets hip-hop. You know, it's just very interesting stuff, but it's also very personal to her. I Wish You Roses, that's a very personal tune because she wanted to release toxic people and places and things in her life, but do it without resentment, without bitterness.
So it's a goodbye song.
It's a goodbye song.
But it's got that beautiful floral generosity to it that's so smooth and so...
Yeah, now, it really is.
Maura, I know you love Kali Uchis as well, and you may have chosen this record if Odaria didn't get to it first, but do you have another one that you want to share for Best of 2023?
I do. My pick is the self-titled fourth album by the Oklahoma singer-songwriter Zach Bryan.
Hey, driver, pull on over. I'm in a fight with God. This Carolina shoulder seems the place I'm getting on. Daddy always told me, never make a home on the road while your lady's sneaking out and the kids are growing old.
Zach Bryan and Hey Driver. And this guy had just a banger of a year.
Yeah.
But Maura, what is it that made this self-titled record so big for you?
I just think it's a really great example of his songwriting strengths. He combines, you know, the sort of realism and brawniness of Heartland Rock. He has the storytelling that's common in Nashville, and he's got the emotionalism of soul, and then just a pinch of like really up close indie rock production, which makes me interested about the shows he's doing next year, which are going to be in stadiums. I just feel like he's really forging his own path in the sort of country Americana world where, you know, it's very singular, his lyrical outlook, it's very honest, and it's really kind of just beautifully produced as well, so that it lets the bones of the songwriting shine through.
Hey, driver, you can drive me off anyway.
Zach Bryan, Hey Driver, that's from his self-titled record. Okay, sometimes it's not the album, it is the single, it's the track. Odaria, what was your favorite single track from 2023?
I went with a British hip hop this year, Central C and Dave with Sprinter.
The man them too inconsiderate, five-star hotel, smoking cigarette, mixing coke, not with a... She got thick, but she wanna get thin again. Drinking apple cider vinegar, wearing skim, cause she wanna be Kim and them. Alright, I know they are bad, stop acting innocent. We ain't got generational wealth, it's only a year that I've had these millions. My whip could have been in a Tokyo drift car, it's fast and furious. I went from the Toyota Yaris to Urus, they had their chance, but blew it.
Central C and Dave and Sprinter, that's Adario's track of 2023. Adario, that sounds amazing and really funny too. What is it that you love about it?
Well, Who doesn't love a British accent? Now, come on. Come on, let's just put it all on the table here and be honest.
Better.
Yeah.
And what I love about Brit hip hop these days is they are expressing their British accent more than anything. They're making what they always wanted to make. And what I love about this tune in particular, it's an old school approach to hip hop.
Yeah, are they as rich as they say they are?
Yes, they are.
Wow.
But recently.
Yeah.
Now, if you actually listen, they're saying this just happened. So that's why I'm writing this song. You know, there's a line where Central C is saying he was driving a Yaris just 2 years ago, but now he can afford something else. It's so great. It's so great. I just loved it.
Two men in Milan heard one of my things dating. P. Diddy need 20% or whatever she bags outside. My head in my hands.
Sprinter, Central C, and Dave. Nate, let's hear your pick. Best song of 2023. What is it?
My pick is Troye Sivan, One of Your Girls.
Everybody loves you, baby. J-mark your face. Lining on the block to be around you. But baby, I'm first in place. Face card, no cash, no credit. Yes, God, don't speak, you said it. Look at you.
Troye Sivan having some fun with gender. One of Your Girls is the name of that track. Nate, tell us about that.
I love this song. It is so... It's a song that you can finish and then immediately press play on again. Yeah. There's something that's so captivating about that loping mid-tempo beat. The lyrics are so tantalizing. They imagine this encounter between Troy's queer narrator and a straight crush he has and the sense of unrequited love, but it's also like playful at the same time. The song has taught me some new vocabulary. Face card, no cash, no credit. I didn't know what that meant. That's when you're so attractive that you don't even need a credit card, a wallet. That's your face card.
That's like one in 1,000, but that's what it is.
I just find the song endlessly listenable.
Nobody wants you bad as I do.
One of Your Girls by Troye Sivan. Mora, what about you? What was your top song for 2023?
My pick is Olivia Rodrigo's Bad Idea Right.
Haven't heard from you in a couple of months, but I'm out right now and I'm all wrapped up. And you're calling my phone, you're all alone, and I'm sensing some undertone. And I'm right here with all my friends, but you're sending me your new address. And I know we're done, I know we're through, but God, when I look at you.
Bad Idea, Right by Olivia Rodrigo. And you know what? She does it anyway. Mora, tell us why you love it.
I mean, I'm a 90s person, so obviously I'm going to have a sort of soft spot for a song that sounds like it's out of the alternative nation block from 1994. But I also really love how, like, the tension in the music mirrors the tension that she's singing about in the song, and she's trying to convince herself it's a bad idea, and then she's just like, whatever, I'm just going to do it. The production is really intense and layered, and I just, you know, it has, like, three different choruses that you can sing along with, too.
It builds. It's a really good one. So, Olivia Rodrigo, Bad Idea Right, which is Mora's pick for the song of 2023. We still have one more category to talk about. It's Best New Artist. So, Dario, I need to know, who did you discover this year?
Well, my discovery is not actually new artists, but they are a new formed group called K-Tramine. Here's their single, Forever.
That's Forever by K-Tramine. Oh, Dario, who came together to make that?
So K-Tramine is the one and only K-Tranada, an awesome Canadian producer, working with rapper Aminé. Now, I love collaborations, and let's just be honest, my name's a little difficult. If I could find another artist that can mix my name up with theirs, I'll do it. I'll do it. But Kate Tramina, hey, it works. And that track was hands down one of the summer songs of the year, especially when I was doing DJ gigs. That was the song that just brought everybody onto the dance floor. It's so smooth. And I just enjoy everything Kate Tramina does. Everything he touches turns to gold.
Kate Tramina and Forever. What about you, Maura? Best new artist for 2023.
So this is an artist that's been around for a while, but he really had his kind of breakthrough moment in the States this year, and it's Peso Pluma, and this is his collaboration with the California band Eslabon Armado called Ella Baila Sola.
Compa, ¿qué le parece esa morra? La que anda bailando sola, me gusta pa mí. Bella, ella sabe que está buena. Todos andan mirándola como baila.
Peso's voice, I just can't. It's so crazy. It's really
it's so
out
cool.
there. It really is.
Yeah.
Eslabon Armado, Peso Pluma, and Ella Baila Sola. Maura, what is the story behind the song?
So this was the first Musica Mexicana song to make the top 10 of the Billboard Hot 100, the singles chart in the U.S. Yeah. You know, this has been a year, I feel, where you've seen kind of streaming really influence the singles charts, bringing in this kind of, you know, new spin on traditional Mexican music to the pop charts. I mean, it's kind of amazing. And you have, you know, other acts. You have the artist Tyla, who just hit the top 10 with her single Water. You obviously have the various members of BTS who have done really well with the singles that they've released over the year. But I think that this has been an interesting year for that kind of global music listening ideal to come to the fore and people to kind of find stuff that might be out of radio programmers' normal remit.
Yeah, like a regional artist from Mexico, and then they chisel into the top five, really. I think it was an absolutely huge hit for them. So.
Yeah, and you know, Peso like toured the States this year and did really well, you know, in pretty big venues and everything. So it's a little chaotic, but it's also really exciting.
Eslabon Armado and the wonderful Peso Pluma. And Nate, it's your turn now. Last but not least, the top new artist you discovered in 2023.
My pick is an artist who's new to the world of music, but has been well established for a while as a comedian and a podcaster. This artist just released their debut Christmas album, which tells you a little bit about their goals. It's a comedy album. It's Matt Rogers. Also, it's Christmas.
It's been months, now I'm finally ready to get back in the game. To connect in a dark corner and then forget your name. I see my breath in the air before me, but that's not 'cause it's cold. Your body moves and it tells a story dying to be told. In the dark of the night, I feel like I've been locked up tight for centuries. That's history. Want you to make me come alive. Also, it's Christmas. Did I mention that it's Christmas in this club? Also, it's Christmas. Tonight is the night we celebrate his son. It's Christmas.
Matt Rogers. He is selling that. Nate, he is selling that song.
Oh, my gosh.
Also, it's Christmas. I love Matt. He is so funny. And, you know, I feel like he really believes it.
I totally agree. I think the song is hysterical because on one hand, it's sort of poking fun at these annual holiday releases from big pop stars that sometimes feel just like desperate cash grabs. Yeah. You know, this song almost as an afterthought, goes, oh, also, it's Christmas in the chorus. But at the same time, there's so throughout this album, there's so much love and so much musical integrity that this isn't just a satire. This is also a genuine love letter to Christmas songs, and it's a genuinely great album. So this is what I'm going to be listening to for the rest of the year.
Maura, Christmas is 2 days away. I want to find out what holiday album is in rotation at your house?
It's got to be John Denver and the Muppets, which has been a favorite of mine since I was very young. But still, it has that awesome Electric Mayhem version of Little Saint Nick.
Excellent. Adaria, what about for you?
Well, I don't mean to bring the mood down, friends. I can't stand Christmas music.
Oh, Adaria.
But if I had to choose, yeah. I'd go classic. I'd go absolutely classic. Nat King Cole, The Christmas Song. You just can't go wrong. Written by Mel Torme in the 40s.
Yeah. But everything Nat sings, everything Nat King Cole sings,
yes,
sounds
absolutely.
Like it's a box of hot chocolate at Christmas, right? It's unbelievably beautiful. You guys are great. It's going to be a bluey Christmas at my house, so I'm going to wish you all a fruit bat in a mango tree and have great holidays. Thank you for being with us.
Great to
Thank
be here,
you. Man. It was great.
Also, it's Christmas. It is December 25th. That is today. Also, it's Christmas.
Musicologist and Switched On Pop podcast host Nate Sloan, Maura Johnston, music critic and adjunct journalism prof at Boston College, and Odario Williams, host of CBC's After Dark and a rapper with Grand Analog.
Also, it's Christmas. Forgot to mention that my sister and her kids are here. Christmas,
Riff from the headlines.
And here we go. It's Riff from the Headlines, our weekly quiz. Three riffs linked by one story in the news. If you guess the story that links those riffs, you could win a Day 6 tote bag. First, here's a recap. This is last week's clue.
You're having my baby. What a lovely way of saying how much you love me.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird.
Cat Stevens and Morning Has Broken, Sick of It by The Primitives, and You're Having My Baby by Paul Anka. And Susan Kraft of Edmonton correctly guessed the headline they were looking for. Scientists pinpoint the cause of severe morning sickness during pregnancy. Congratulations, Susan. A Day 6 tote bag will be on its way to you soon. Now, here's this week's clue.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa.
And we're looking for the story that connects those riffs. Email us your answer. Put riff from the headlines in the subject and send it to day6@cbc.ca. Please include your mailing address. One right answer will be picked at random. The prize is a Day 6 tote bag. And you can always hear the clues again anytime at cbc.ca/day6.
Time, weather, and
riff from the headlines.
And that's our show for this week. Day 6 was produced by Annie Bender, Sarah Melton, and Pedro Sanchez. Our senior producer is Gord Westmacott, and I'm Brent Bambury.
It's 3 days to Kwanzaa, 2 days to Christmas, and 7 days till we meet again on day six. Happy holidays, everyone. Peace on earth.
Yep, yeah. Another one in the bag.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
What's the Nat song that I love? L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary.
Yes.
Yes. It means you're the one that
is all that I can give to you. Love is more than just a game for two. Two in love can make it. Take my heart and please don't break it. Love was made for me and you.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.